Yes, good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. A pleasure to have you in our investor call. And today, there is not only Fritz and myself, we have also Robert van der Kerkhof, our new sales director and colleague on the board. And may I ask Robert just to introduce himself with some words?
Yeah, good morning, afternoon. Van der Kerkhof, as my name will indicate, Dutch from origin. Aeronautical engineer from background. Then with a specialization in composites, I moved into the fibers business. And I have at this moment about 24 years of experience in Kevlar, Nomex, nylon, and polyester fibers, mainly industrial applications from airbags to seat belts, hygiene applications like diapers. And also definitely several projects in apparel through my last 10 years in the Lycra business from Invista.
Okay, so I start now with page 3 and executive summary, as one of your colleagues has already written today. I would not say that this is a very, very strong cash conversion, but this is a pretty good cash conversion. And also to summarize it with the issue that the net debt is did not increase, it isn't we could reduce it by 5 million, and that is reflected, of course, by a lot of I would say very, very successful operational things, even if net prices are down 12% from first quarter 2013 to first quarter 2014. And if we just calculated, this is 21 cents. Goes without saying, on a gross basis, that would be 200 million almost less, almost approximately less sales, less turnover. And without any countermeasures on the cost side, it would also be 200 million less EBITDA if we would extrapolate that into the full year. On the very positive side, 9%, almost 19,000, or I would say almost 20,000 more tons more sales, which is a record for any quarter, and that should reflect, I would say, I'm not saying the very, very, very good demand side, but strong demand side. We are fully booked. Our lines are running at a very, very high capacity utilization. Very important on the background that Fritz will talk about that and also later, that tensile plant is coming on stream in 45 days. We should be able to sell, to have saleable quality. Our specialties, our modal and tensile initiatives are working very well into from 2013 into 2014 with continuously good premiums. The EBITDA is also reflecting that at the operational result, 46 against 66, of course, a significant reduction, but, a little bit ahead of expectations. But if, admittedly, EBITDA at 46 for Lenzing is not the target we want to be. Of course, we also want to make more. With almost 30 million depreciation, EBIT is 16.7, and net financial cost and taxes, we have a net income. You can read it on the backup of 7.7 million net income. A lot of this, I would say, not good, but still acceptable results for first quarter must be and can be contributed to the excellence program. I come to that later, but that is working very, very well into the organization, into the material cost, into services cost, and into personal cost. It goes without saying, we had the AGM 2 weeks ago. And in the meantime, the 1.75 euro dividend per share was not only declared, but also already paid. Maybe some of you have seen the really outstanding and very aware, public aware Agent M promotion the last couple of weeks, last 3 weeks, from not only Germany, but primarily New York, Tokyo, London, to Shanghai. Huge, huge, huge posters and showcases of New York Times Square, 10 by 10 meters, showing Tencel shirts, showing Tencel conscious collection, showing Tencel Agent M's Tencel spring collection, in a dimension and in a intensity Lansing never could afford, a campaign which would cost millions and millions of dollars. And that just shows, I would say, not only a one-time great campaign, because such campaigns we do particularly with Inditex and Agent M very often, but it is on the, I would say, on the eve that the Tencel plant is starting. That's giving awareness, that's giving visibility, and for our people here, for the production as well as for the salespeople, a very, very, very strong emotion. So may I hand over after the first summary to Fritz?
Good afternoon, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Fritz Wenninger speaking. We are on page number 4, and I would like to talk now about the cotton as the benchmark fibers for textile use and many other uses. And I would like to structure this page 4 in a way that we talk about first global consumption and production, and then about China, which is of course also in cotton production and consumption the number one in the world, and then the rest of the world. So if you look at the right side of the chart, you see that the production is adapting. If you come back to the, let's say, peak growth in 2011, then now it's going down year by year, and we are already minus 11% in terms of production. The real issue on a global scale is, of course, that the demand does not pick up in the right way. After the price shocks, we realized in mainly end of 2009 and 2010. So the demand side is unfortunately growing at a slow pace, despite we are looking first time now for next year, a plus 3% of growth in cotton demand. Nevertheless, stocks picking up, and you see the 20 million tons which would come after next year's crop. Now, this was the global scale. Let's talk about China as the major supplier and user. In China, the situation is quite different on the production side. It declines 17% compared to the time when the incentive system to build up a strategic reserve was implemented in 2011. And it's expected to decline further. All the information we get from the governmental side are indicating that the next year's crop will be down another 10%. So China is really, really adapting on the cotton production and diverts into food crops. On the demand side, and there's another thing, sorry, that the incentive system is just implemented further for the Xinjiang region, which is the major producer of cotton production in China, about 40%. All other areas like Shandong, Jiangsu, etc., do not have an incentive system, and these people will, of course, divert a lot into food crops. The reserve in China on the cotton still going up as the demand side is still going down in China, and we will see an increase of the world stocks to up to 57%. When we see the rest of the world, the picture is kind of opposite. Because I start at the bottom there, the stock-to-use ratio in the rest of the world is 54%. So, as you know, 50% or a bit above 50% would be an absolute minimum value in order to achieve a certain allocation scheme plus a quality scheme for the end for the users of cotton. So, and this is somehow triggering that the cotton prices, if you see last year, they were averaging at 90 cents per pound. This year we had already peaks at 98, so being close to 100 cents a pound. So very favorable in this respect on cotton pricing. The only issue, you might ask, what does it mean for the future? Does have China the patience to continue further with this stocking and building the strategic reserve, which was decided in 2010-2011, or will they flood the market? So far, there is no indication. Because, they're still incentivizing cotton production in China. Some auctions were not really irritating the price mechanism in the area. So the only thing what is needed now, and there is, some positive signals from Cotton Inc. that the and other big organizations that the cotton consumption will move up next year and we'll have better volume growth. So, on the next page, on page number 5, how is the viscose environment? Is it just reflecting cotton or is it an on segment now? We got some negative price premiums now, even up to 25% to cotton. So still there is a correlation, no question about that. But viscose shows also some own dynamics meantime. And because from industry dynamics in the viscose segment, we can see that the prices in viscose really went down continuously second half of last year until December, where we reached we saw at least the bottom level of 12,300 roughly, but the lowest this year was 11,500 to 600 RMB per ton. But as one also can see, is if everybody is making losses and huge cash losses, something will change and has to change. And now, recently, we saw some price increases again, back up to 12,000 roughly. We are now at 11,900, which is a positive signal. So Chinese, obviously, also doing everything, not ruining now the whole, industry. This is a kind of a positive signal. Nevertheless, a real, real fundamental change we do not see. It's positive. Capacity increases are absolutely slowing down. There's no question. We have an addition of about 250,000 tons. So we talk about single-digit growth, whereas we saw growth rates in the years before of double-digit, so 12, 15, 16% in this region. But on the other side, it's not an industry phenomena only for textiles, or only for fibers. No, it's also in automotive, it's in the real estate, it's in other areas as well, that the liquidity constraints we see in China specifically really is also, putting the companies, the fiber producers, the spinners, the weavers, in a very cash-driven modus. So, and this is also what is having an effect on prices. And as you know, always the last volumes which are sold on a cash basis, on a spot basis, is kind of dictating then finally the prices. But this is the situation we currently have to live with. It's a cash-driven, absolutely cash-driven industry at the moment. Polyester fibers, the absolutely low. We saw prices of $125 a kilogram. Now it went up again to $135, but still a gap of about 40 cents, 50 cents to viscose prices did not influence the growth rate of our man-made cellulosic fibers. And I just want to mention that at that point of time that we still had a growth rate 2013-2012 of 10%, and this is outpacing any other fiber growth, being it polyester, being it acrylic, being it polyamide. Well, some on the major raw materials. This is the pulp, of course. Yeah, there is anti-dumping on pulp from 6 April now for 5 years time frame, and the impact level is let's say up to 33%. In the U.S., in Canada, up to 24%, and Brazil, up to 11% or 12%, where the big producer has 6.8% there. Well, what we can see is that for several weeks now, already the price is very much flat at $845 a ton. So this is somehow what we have to see in the next months to come, how the anti-dumping on the pulp on those regions is impacting, let's say, the pricing scheme. And because, I mean, minimum 10%, let's say, higher prices on anti-dumping will impact, of course, the fiber cost and will impact finally the fiber prices. Well, right, this is some final words before I hand over to Robert from the marketing side. Peter pitched on the Denzel. I just can tell you, I mean, and that should be good for you all, I'm very positive on Denzel, despite we are still in the testing phase. I'm very positive on Denzel, on the new plant, on the new jumbo line here in Lansing. Thank you. Please, Robert, maybe you can continue.
Yeah, thank you, Fritz. Well, building on the point, I think, and also what Peter mentioned, it's timing is really good with the plant starting up and the positive outlook of the performance of that plant. At the same time, our market position, it's perfect timing. Just as a full year number, in 2013, the brand position of our brands really were very strong. 400 million of product labels, tags and stickers, over 3,500 certificate numbers, more than 200 licenses, product licenses, and about 300 fiber identification really gives us a strong position in the market. That is a market position that we should leverage, of course, going forward with the new volumes coming up. The presence that we've seen in the last few months, and here I'm taking, of course, credit, having been with the company only 2 weeks, but credit from the predecessors, there's been tremendous work done with the limited budgets to really get a lot of visibility in the trade. And if we just take a few examples, as Peter mentioned earlier, the H&M Conscious Collection got global attention, just rolled out, but very, very visible, very, very strong message to the consumer. Zara, ladies' basis denim collection, which contains both Tencel and our Pro Modal offering, very, very good starting point. Levi's denim collection and Japan, and of course growing outside Japan more and more, is Uniqlo with also a Tencel collection. So on the retail side, very significant programs. But also when you look at beyond textiles, on the home and interior business that is growing at this moment with campaigns in Bed Bath and Beyond in the USA. With a brand of Calitas origin and Pure Beach. We're working together with Afontan in Asia for bed collection. I think we've got a very strong basis that we can build on there as well. In the non-woven side, we've seen initiatives on wipes. That's a segment that we really anticipate we have significant upside potential. The wipes are the Uracell fiber in Europe. Flushable wipes become very interesting at this moment in the U.S. I think that's a trend that might come over to Europe as well at a later stage. But again, very strong outlook for our product and for our Tencel brand. So one of my first exposures to the marketing side of Lenzing was during the EDANA non-woven show in Geneva. It's the biggest non-woven show in the world, and Lenzing was very proud to receive the Tencel Skin prize for the best marketing campaign. It's an outstanding achievement, which the non-woven team can be very proud of. Tencel Skin is a specialty fiber developed by Lenzing for the segment, and it really stands out for being very skin-friendly. The EDANA jury really justified its award because of the marketing campaign, because of its very high aesthetics and the artistic standards of the campaign video, which clearly and vividly demonstrate the advantage of the fiber to the people, but also simultaneously explains the most important properties of the fiber. So all these measures show that we're well on track for the market penetration of specialty fibers. And as Fritz said, for the startup of the new Tencel plant. So I'd like to hand it over back to Peter for the financials.
Yeah, for those who are at least a little bit interested on the share price, I can say that in the meantime, the Lenzing share price, at least on the Vienna Stock Exchange, is today the high flyer with 5% up at €45.9, at a quite good liquidity also, or close to 50,000 shares. So you remember at the year-end roadshows and also investor call, we say that the net debt issue is one of the overriding financial issues for all over the year. And at least, and I would say why I say at least, but at least for the first quarter, we have been able to retain and to keep net debt at the level of 500. I'm not now jumping that it was 5 million less. Of course, you are aware that, and we mentioned that already last year, we decreased the balance sheet by 200 million. Of course, we sold some businesses, but there have been also some other financial fine-tuning measures. And we did that, and we're still continuing that into the first quarter and also in the second quarter. Why I say at least? Because don't expect that this is going to be the case also in the second quarter, because just simply we are going to pay in the second quarter 46.6 million on dividend, and you cannot expect that we are going to repeat that then to have a positive cash flow, at least free cash flow in the second quarter. But nevertheless, cash capex 36.6, there are of course some major payments to be done from Tencel, but much less than comparable first quarter last year, with 9% and even 10% more production. We need a little bit more working capital. We are very well aware that this 12.9 million is not that what we had in mind, but of course we must buy raw material, and be also assured, as a part of excellence program, working capital will be trimmed down over the course of the year. Liquidity cushion is, I would say, very satisfying, with close to 550 million. A little bit more on equity, 46.6% equity ratio, I think is very, very solid and shouldn't be of concern for anybody. Moving on to the excellence program, savings significantly exceed the 60 million on a running rate for 2014. I think this is what we also said at the last call, that we want to do that very, very fast, particularly the personal cost savings and the personal cuts, and that definitely was the case within the first 4 months now. I think we have done almost 80% of the job, at least for that. That resulted in a 9.5% personal cost reduction, including the wage increases all over the year. So that means we are very, very well ahead of the reduction plan, and also reflecting the new organization, which is also now in place since 4 months. Goes without saying, if we take out two, three hierarchical lines in Lenzing or two, three lines in Indonesia, that is reflected in less staff. The same is going on material, on processing, on efficiency, on purchasing, procurements, We are doing very well. If you just take the 2.6% less material cost, actually you have to add another 9 or even 10% on higher production, because even that is, we need material cost for that. So in total, we reduced our relative to first quarter our material cost by 11%. There are optimized processes, shorter lead time, and very important for the market, quicker decision times, less reporting or less reporting lines, and. On SG&A, I think the organization, if there are less people, decision times are faster. We get better rates on the logistics, but also, of course, on other efficiencies, on consumption ratios down and. And I think if you compare it with the production, production is quite stable, much consistent and better quality than comparable first quarter of last year, and that's also aiding on that side. So also increased insourcing, what should that mean? We're doing more, we're doing less services, even inside, and even there, we're doing less outsourcing, which of course on legal, on consultants, on other costs is always more expensive than if we do it inside, particularly if we do less of that. The outlook for 2014, I think you will have a lot of understanding if we are still not giving a guidance for 2014, because as Fritz just explained you, the viscose market and the cotton market, there is a strong volatility, and if the cotton market was up quite nicely in the first quarter, it just came down the last 2 weeks now in May by almost 6%. So still at the high level, and we expect it to be there. But for the viscose market, even we have seen a little bit of an improvement in the last two, three weeks, but we are not sure whether this is sustainable. Everybody of you is following the CCF price. You have seen that. We are close to 12,000, but same as it has happened 3 weeks ago, that after a first trial, it came down again. But what Lansing is doing is also clear. We are telling customers with very low prices that we are moving them out of the list. We are pricing them out. So that means that we are cutting and we are improving on the low, on the very, very low cost and revenue side. And if they don't accept it, they are out. We are not accepting any more losses on that. But this very, very tough environment is going to continue surely well into the second quarter and also in the third quarter. Overcapacities will still stay, getting a little bit less because some Chinese are taking out capacities, some Chinese are delaying coming on stream with capacities, but at the end of the day, new capacities are new capacities and will come on stream, whether now whether it was in the first quarter, it will be in the third quarter, they will come and they will produce. Cotton stock is going up by almost 1 million, so psychologically that's surely not a positive underlying factor for the pricing environment, no doubt. So how are we counteracting that? As you have seen from and heard from Robert, additional initiatives on the market, additional specialities, both on micromodal, on micromodal air, on Tencel, on all kind of Tencel standard, Tencel LF, Tencel A100, and even a stronger and stronger focus on Asia, even if Asia is already our focus, but there is the growth, there are the customers, and we are following them. And as we are just starting preparation for commercial production of Tencel new applications, the reorganization we did with the two business developments, since the 4 months is working quite well. That means more business development with Asian customers to be prepared now for the second half new initiatives and new applications. On the financials, I think goes without saying what we said 2 months ago. The net debt is one of our most important areas we will focus on and try, I say try, yeah, to keep it at that level. And on the other side, as excellence is working pretty well, we move further, faster, stronger, and wherever we can take, and even sometimes for $10,000 we run after. But we see it makes we're making good progress, good carve outs on material, again on services, on efficiencies, on personnel, and on SG&A. So all in all, of course, no good results, even if we are ahead of consensus, but that doesn't mean that it is good. Environment will be very tough for the second quarter, and expectedly also for the third quarter. But please be assured that we are taking all kind of countermeasures, and not only cost savings, also others, on the quality side, on the customer side, on specialties, to improve the top line, and as well as to take all measures possible and reasonable on the cost side. Okay, that is it. Please, your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. And our first question today comes from Mr. Trubrich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Stephanie. Good afternoon, gentlemen. My first question would be related to the premiums on specialities that you mentioned on page 3 of your presentation pack. Could you maybe provide a little bit more color here, the developments of Tencel and Modal in textile versus Tencel in nonwovens, also the price differential of nonwovens versus textile fibers would be very interesting. And related to that, you have currently 2/3 of your revenues in textile fibers. Would you consider, and I asked that a couple of quarters already once, that you maybe shift the portfolio split a little bit towards non-woven fibers, given the growth potential, what you mentioned in the presentation, i.e. in flushable Tencel vibes and these kind of things. Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Trubrich, thank you for the question. You are right. I start with the last question. Of course, having a little bit better prices on non-wounds, we're doing our level best, but that is not 50,000 tons more this year. This goes step by step. On the other side, you must be aware, the more we would move Tencel into non-wounds, the less would be the premium, because you also know that the premium of Tencel in the non-wounds business is far away from the premium we enjoy on different applications in textile. To the first question, what was the first question?
The premiums.
Well, yeah, it goes. You also know it from the past, even if we are not publishing anymore the premiums. But the premiums are still, I would say, nicely ahead of 50%. But be aware that when the viscose price comes down, the premiums have to follow. Yeah. So prices on Tencel also came down a little bit, even if the premium stays nice. It's a relative premium, not an absolute premium. We have good modal prices. We still consider tensile prices as good, but of course they are not at that level we have been 1 year ago.
Okay, thank you. And just maybe to share with us, I mean, that the price for modal versus tensile, has that price be more stable versus tensile? And with the new capacity in tensile coming on stream, what you said, I believe, in 45 days, do you believe now, I mean, you apparently or most likely will have lowered your prices already a little bit in tensile due to that fact, but what do you expect just a couple of months down the road, the price for tensile in Q3 versus the current price, how much do you believe might that need to go down in order to get the volume into the market?
There's not the question how much we have to go down. We are getting the volume into the market without price increases because, as I mentioned, and also Robert mentioned, there are so many market initiatives running on tensile. Of course, these are all well-established specialities of tensile, and the new line will be standard tensile, so that anyway will be different applications. But there is no need to make a winter sale or a spring sale or a summer sale. This is not customers actually also would not be used to that. Of course, we are doing maybe several thousand tons of startup quality. We are going to sell into the market at some lower prices, but definitely not to our existing customers. But generally, if we have a premium strategy for modal with a premium price, it has to be reflected in a more stable price trend. Tensile is on the scale up. That means, and don't be surprised because we are telling that now since 1.5 years, and particularly on the background that this new tensile quality is a standard tensile and is not LF and is not A100. Definitely, the average premium will come down, and therefore the average tensile price will come down. But don't take that as a concern because this is just a mix, a reflection of a mix change.
Okay, and regarding
Stefan, please let the others. You can have the next one.
Okay, thanks.
And the next question is from Mr. Fabio Lopez of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking the question. I have a few questions. First one on how you're thinking about seasonality this year, because Q3, correct me if I'm wrong, you should be the weakest because you have some holidays like the Ramadan. But given the phasing of the 60 million of cost savings, so how are you thinking about seasonality this year, which links to my question on the cost savings, because can you give us an idea of the how much more than 60 million you have in mind? Because it feels like it's a lot more. Is that the case? I had a question on what you're seeing on the ground in terms of price negotiations with customers in China. It looks like it's been, even for the specialties, it's been really tough. Is that the case? And just one quick question on guidance for depreciation and tax rate for the full year, if that's possible. Thanks a lot.
Well, Fabio, that's a lot of questions, and if I would have the answers on that, I would not sit here. But seasonality, of course, you know, you're also aware that the Ramadan is changing. So this year we're having a strong Ramadan, or we're having Ramadan season in July. Even now we are already preparing, and yes, clear in July we will have less viscose sales because it's primarily Indonesia. It will not affect to the extent it may affect viscose, modal, and tensile. But I cannot tell you now exactly how much that will be, But last year it was August, a little bit July, a little bit August. This year it is more July. Second, cost savings. Yeah, we are when we write it, we are nicely ahead of already for the end of the year call. We said that it should be 60 to 80. I would say that this is more towards the 80, and even on the 80, Robert, Fritz, and myself, we are not satisfied. We are working on more. Whether it's then going to be 10 million more, we don't know, but we are at least working, and we have the motivation to do that. On price negotiations, yeah, also clear. We are not an investment bank. We have to fight for our sales prices and for our volumes. It is tough. It is very, very tough for Viscose. It is but also tough for Modal. And as Fritz sometimes has explained to you, we have price points, and we have to be careful that we are not overpricing in that sense, that the price points are too high. So. Of course, customers also know that, and but luckily, I would say the big markets, Indonesia, China, and Turkey, and even Europe, are all a little bit different. So it depends also how strong is our market share of, for instance, Stencil in China, in Turkey, and also depending on that, the negotiations go on.
But Fabio, maybe I can add something, because you specifically were asking about China and specialities. I mean, what we see now in China is, because out from the cotton situation and coarse yarn counts were a lot imported into China because of high cotton prices, the Chinese industry, textile industry, which is highly modernized, are looking for really value-added products and upgraded their product ranges. So this is very much in coming into favor of our, let's say, microfibers, Modal being it, or Dental, whatever. And also what we see is cotton is not, let's say, one area, all is cotton. There is this long staple cotton, worldwide base, which is really first time below 400,000 tons. And you know, long staple fiber you need for fine yarn counts and high strengths, or for shirts or whatever. And this is also where our fibers get more into the picture right now. So I would say China is a huge potential for us, because they're really upgrading their product ranges and their product portfolio now.
Does this answer your question?
Yes, just if you could give guidance on depreciation and tax rate, if that's okay. Tax rate was a bit higher on the first quarter. I wonder if it goes back towards the 26 for the full year.
Yeah, but the tax rate was a little bit higher in the first quarter. That's right, because we made some so-called prepayments to TNC, which surely will not be the case in second and third quarter. I think you still can expect that it will be something 25% and 27%. And the depreciation, we think, as you have seen now in the first quarter, something like 30 million, 120 to 125 on a yearly basis.
And just to follow up on when you answered the first question, you think you said 10 million, it could be 10 million above. Were you referring to above the 60 million or above the 80 million when you said?
I was definitely referring to the 10 million above the 80.
Okay, perfect. That's great. Thanks a lot.
I say this is not a done deal, yeah?
Sure. Yeah. Just wanted to clarify. Thanks a lot.
And the next question is from Mr. Bernd Maurer of RCB. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. One brief question from my side. What are your expectations regarding the volumes to be sold from the new Tencel plant this year? As I read from the presentation, you expect to be on stream in time, so meaning from the beginning of 3Q onwards. How many tons you think you are able to sell this year?
Yeah, we in our planning are slightly above 30,000 tons.
Okay.
And as I told you before, we will start, now we're in a test phase, but we will start commercially then by mid of the year.
Okay, this means that you that the capacity is more or less 100% utilized from the first day onwards, right?
No, not really. I mean, some volumes, of course, you're right. Good calculator. Some volumes will produce, but this is, of course, coming out from the test phase.
Okay.
They sets up, you know.
Yeah, but a volume of 30,000 this year.
Yeah, it's not quite right because it's 67,000 tons, so
yeah.
Half.
Yeah.
Even.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Our next question is from Mr. John Klein of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome, Robert. I just got two questions related to the new TENCEL plant as well. How do you think about working capital build-up and cost build-up related to that plant in the second quarter? Thanks.
Yeah, also with respect to working capital, it is clear that you need the pulp first and the solvent that has to be bought even without production, even without sales. So, but there is already, John, some major effect already considered in the first quarter because, as Rich mentioned, we are already under the test phase. So this is now a step-by-step approach. There will be an additional smaller effect in the second quarter, and then particularly in the third quarter, I think when Fritz is really canceling his vacation and pushing up the TENCEL utilization rate, then we will have the remaining effect on working capital.
But no vacations in 3 years, you know.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Trubrich of Kepler Chevreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, it's me again. Thanks for taking the question. So first I would like to address Mr. Weninger because he was so bullish on the new TENCEL line that he said he's very, very positive. Maybe you could share with us why in particular and what makes you so confident. And then another follow-up question would be on the cost savings that have been accelerated, and you are aiming now at something like 80 to 90 million for 2014. Does that imply then that you have found some ways to increase the target of the total of 120 million in 2014-15, or is that just something of 2015 put forward into 2014? Thank you.
Robrich, to the first question, of course, why I'm, let's say, pretty positive on TENCEL. This is because this is a jumbo line. As you know, we have, let's say, four times the capacity in one line, which we had so far in all our other factories. And, of course, there is always a certain risk in such a scale-up, but as we see it now in the test phase, yeah, and a little of fiber we are producing already, that all works so nicely together, and even we had some technology upgrades in critical areas, segments of that process, that all fits so nicely together. So I'm really pretty confident, and I must say also from a fiber quality point of view, after these test phases, we see, and we were not really expecting this after such a short time, that we will have this kind of good quality where we really already see further improvements, of course, and the ramp-up phase pretty much justified to achieve the volumes for this year in production, what I said before.
So just to interrupt you, so that the profitability of the TENCEL fiber at the Lansing site would be at a significantly higher level than the profitability of your other TENCEL lines you currently have. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have a very good profitability on all the other dental lines also. So it will be in line, of course, with all the others, yeah? But generally, dental has a very good profitability, I must say.
But please be aware that, as I said at the beginning, dental lensing is standard, and dental lensing standard has different applications, contrary to specialties from Heiligenkreuz, specialties from Grimsby in UK. So and therefore they have also different profitabilities and EBITDA margins. We cannot compare even next year, or you cannot expect that next year all the sites would have this more or less the same EBITDA margin. No.
So coming
back to your first or to your second question on cost savings, I say that we feel very strong that we will make more than the 60s. I also mentioned the figure of 80. Yes, as repeat again what I said to Fabio, we are trying to make maybe another 10 million, but that's only we can tell you in the second half. Why we are, I would say, more optimistic than 2 months ago. We are doing cuttings and measurements and particularly execution in a much faster way. We are saving and taking carve-outs stronger here and there, and that's all over personal, materials, services, SG&A. And don't now, if it would be 80 or even 80 plus, don't say, that's then also the same for 2015. We cannot confirm that because we also take a lot of course, our overriding target is sustainable structural savings, and that's still at the level of 60 plus. So we are taking and considering also more one-off savings that may be only available in 2014, and do not yet know whether we also will have them in 2015. We are trying our level best, Fritz in the production, Robert in on the top line, but that has to be seen in 2015.
Okay, thank you.
Now our next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Fabio Lopez of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just one more clarification. You just touched on it. If let's assume you do the 80 million of cost savings this year, how would that impact the cost savings of next year? Would it be like you see on the 60 guidance? Or it's just an anticipation or so a timing effect? Or it would be still the 60 million for next year? Thanks.
Fabio, the same question we are asking ourselves here, yeah?
Okay.
And as I said, we are including and we are counting a lot of also more, let's say, more of one-time issues. That means non-recurring issues, non-structural issues. They may not be on the savings list next year. That material cost savings, that one-time rebates we get from that or that supplier, that looks very nice then. And I'm not talking about now price decreases, which we would have anyway. This is not part of excellence, yeah. But so we don't know. We are in talks to these guys here and there, all over. Is it pulp? Is it caustic? Is it sulfur? Is it other services? Is it additional contribution from higher production? On and on. So. To be clear, if we are talking about an incremental savings of 60 million, I would say for the time being take that 60 million. Maybe you make a plus behind it, okay, but nothing else.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. Mr. Untersberger?
Finished?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no further questions.
Sorry. I was listening for a question which didn't come. Obviously, there is no question anymore. Many thanks, ladies and gentlemen. A pleasure to have you on our call. And looking forward for August when we come back with our first half results. Thanks. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
And if there should be follow-up questions, like always, please call me. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.